All right, I want you to turn in your Bible. Everyone always bring a Bible. To Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I want to illustrate today, this is not the seven chairs, this is just six. This is going to be Jesus. So everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
It's just going to be Jesus. All right. So let's see if I can get him up there. No, that's too slopey. All right. There we go. All right. There's Jesus. Okay, this chair here, this is going to be Jesus. Okay, so that's Jesus and that's Jesus. And then put three chairs over there and give me one chair here. All right. Put it up forward right there like that. Okay. Now put two more out to the side there. There you go. Apart a little bit. That's good. All right. Now I want to read from the second chapter of the Philippians, verse 4, 2, 4. Look not every man, so this is everybody, look not every man on his own things. How many know that's exactly what we do? How many know everybody does that? Everybody does that. Because they're responsible, so they look on their own things. So don't look on your own things. But wait a minute, it goes on. Then it says, but also, so don't look on just your own things. Don't look on just your own things, but also on the things of others. So now it's very clear that what God wants is for you to not be selfish, not just think of yourself and not care for others, but you actually should love others. You should be a servant to others. Could anybody say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, that's the truth. However, it's not a law. It is a law, but it's not a law. This is the law right here. This is what you must do for God to be pleased with you and then to get a reward. So if I behave myself, if I'm nice, if I don't, you know, just take care of myself selfishly and so on, then I get a reward. So you're under a law to be good. Well, that's not true. That is not true. It's never been true and it never will be true. God does not want you to obey the law. I'm not talking about human laws. I'm talking about His law. Could you say amen? Because most Christians, I've noticed, don't behave.
Amen.
Well, I mean, they're not perfect. Has anybody noticed that? That when people obey the law, they just do the best they can kind of thing and then hope that's okay. Well, God just wants you to be perfect. Remember He said, be ye perfect as I am perfect. Be ye holy in the same way that I'm holy. How many know that's a little tough, except your pastor? Then it's okay. Pastors can do it. But regular people, I've noticed, are not obedient. They're not obedient like that. So keeping the law is a Dickens. It's tough. It's hard to do, to be perfect all the time. So I don't like that chair over there. I don't like that chair. So that chair, I probably should have put it over here. I'm going to put it over there. I want to put that chair over there. I want to put this chair over here because I want to make sure we got it in the right line here. So there, I'm going to put that chair there. Now, don't sit in this chair here. This one is off to his left. So that's the law chair. Now, this chair is the gospel, three chairs. The gospel has three parts to it. The first part of the gospel is believe. How many are believers? Yeah. Hey, believe. Don't keep the law, because you can't. And even if you could, you wouldn't want to. And even if you wanted to, you couldn't. So that's kind of funny. So he gave you a job you can't do. How many of you just can't be like Jesus? You just can't be perfect. You just can't, you know, be Christ-like in every way. So that's just a deal that nobody's ever done. Nobody, never. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You see that? So could I hear an amen? So we didn't want to sit in that chair. The Jews have tried for, 3,500 years ever since Moses first gave that thing. And they still haven't done it. That's half of world history. So for 3,500 years, because this was 1,500 years before Jesus, they got that law thing and they've never done it. And that's why Jesus said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So apparently the law, you were not made to be able to keep that law. But that's not true. You were made to be able to keep that law, but you couldn't do it. Well, I said you could, but I said you couldn't. How many know that that doesn't make sense? So I got to explain that. The fact that you have to keep the law doesn't mean you have to keep it. It could be that Jesus has to keep it for you. Now, what if Jesus kept it for you? Then you could keep it because Jesus is perfect. Now, upstairs here, this is Jesus, Son of God. This is Jesus as Son of God. And as Son of God, he's God. So, since he's God, he can do anything. But what if Jesus, as Son of God, was sent downstairs by his Father? Bloop, 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 bloop. Bloop. Now, here I am, Christmas time. I'm glad that's over there. So, at Christmas time, he became Son of Man. Now, how many know that little trip that he took, he didn't come for a long time. In fact, 4,000 years before he came into the world. The world's almost over. That was just 2,000 years ago. I mean, it's almost gone. But he came anyway, God said at the right time, he became Son of Man. So here as Son of Man, is he still the Son of God? Did he come down as Son of God no more? Okay, well, let's explain it, because this is going to be in Philippians. So he gave up his omniscience. He gave up his omnipresence. That's Latin. Okay, he gave up his knowing everything. He gave up his all-powerfulness. And he gave up his summum bonum, his being good all the time. So he gave that up and said, I'm still going to be God because there's eternal life in being God, the Son of God, equal to the Father. I don't give that up. I'm going to bring that down, and I'm going to put that inside of me here, and then I'm going to do like this. So now, Jesus as Son of Man is also Son of God. But now, let's say this is Son of Man here, the chair that was Son of God, and let's say I'm sitting on top of the other chair, which is hidden. So he hid the Son of God chair underneath the Son of Man chair. So all people saw was the man, and he's killable now. Because as Son of Man, he's like us. And he gave up, he surrendered his equal to God. No, he didn't. Actually, he retained that. He's still Son of God, and he's got eternal life in him. Even though he's got now natural life also. So he's got two things. He's got the natural life, that's his natural spirit, which when he dies, he has to give back to the Father. You remember when he died, he said, Father, I now commend to you my spirit. I give up my spirit. Well, he wasn't talking about the Holy Spirit. He was talking about his natural life spirit. So God, isn't this fun? Because you're learning stuff you might not know. So the Son of God is his eternal Holy Spirit, equal with God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that didn't leave him. And as a matter of fact, it dwells in him bodily. So he's got the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He's got all of it inside of the Son of Man. So he's special. Nobody else ever had this. Nobody. Not Hercules or, you know, Aphrodite or all those other silly gods that are not gods at all. They didn't have that. They didn't have eternal life in them. They're just creatures, by the way. They're just invented. In fact, they're nothing. In fact, they're just nothing. There really is no, you know, Allah. And there is no, sorry. But there is no Buddha and so on. Those are just people. Or they're just invented words. Or they're just nothing. Yeah. So that's it. Like, for example, Jupiter. Has anybody ever heard of that word, Jupiter? That's just because there's no vowels in the ancient languages. That's just another name for Japheth. You remember Japheth? That was one of the three sons of Noah. Well, so his oldest son, which is where most of us come from, we come from that oldest son, okay, and so he's just the oldest boy. And so they just handed that name down over the years, and then he became a god. How many know that when you die, you kind of improve? Even if you've been a rascal, as pastor, I never bring that out. I always bring out how wonderful this person was, and even though nobody liked him. And so you improve. You just suddenly, from your death, you become more likable than you were when you were alive. Because, you know, people, when they're alive, they're scoundrels at times. And sometimes they just blow up at you. And sometimes they abandon you. And sometimes they betray you. Has anybody ever discovered that people are kind of funny? Because they claim to be better than animals, and yet they kind of act like animals sometimes. Does anybody notice that about people? And so people get disappointed in people. But Jesus came down to be the perfect person. And so now as Son of Man, he emptied himself of his Son of God attributes, but not of the substance. In other words, he had the form of God. And he gave up the form, but he did not give up substantia Dei, the substance of God. He never gave that up. So he still kept that. So he is still God's son. But he also then adopted, took on the form of man. So that is called substantia humana. Humana. Okay, so now he's a human. And so he's fully God and fully man. So he's both. But even though he's fully God, that's hidden. And you can't see then the glory that after he died and rose again, he went back to heaven and got that. He got that glory back. So when he was on the earth, he didn't have that glory. For example, he didn't know everything. And so he would tell people, you'd have to ask the Father about that. You'd have to check on the Father there. Because he didn't know everything like when he was in heaven. He had to empty himself of all that. And power, if somebody had, you know, done him in, he could have just blown on him like that. Because he's the Son of God. And so let's say they tried to nail him to the cross and he didn't like the nails. He could have just turned them into bullets and shot them right at him. You know, that's what I'd have done if I had that kind of power. I'd get, you guys did this, but I'm going to get you back. So. I don't know. There's a vengeance in me that's, you know, it's not part of my pastoral ministry, but it comes up when I'm with certain people. Now, so all of us are flawed. Has anybody noticed that about Christians, that they're still flawed? Have you found that out, that they're not perfect? And sometimes if you get married, you marry somebody who's not perfect. Has any woman ever yet found a perfect man? I mean, he looks like it, of course, on wedding day for about 3 seconds. But after that, it becomes too real, and you realize, uh-oh, I made a big mistake. And has any guy ever thought, I'm going to marry a woman that's submissive and, you know, will do what I say? Has any guy ever discovered that? It doesn't turn out that way for some reason. I mean, Peggy was submissive, and I was a good leader and a good head. She just never did what I wanted. I would tell her to, you know, I want you up at 5 and get my breakfast all ready and then bring in the newspaper and, you know, I'll wear my slippers out there and you can bow down and call me Lord and stuff like that. I don't know why. She just never picked up on that. She just never got that. One time she did it as a joke, just so I wouldn't say it anymore. So I noticed that, you know, that idea that God had about submissive women and good husbands, reliable husbands, is kind of a joke. Now, what I've noticed is that all people are flawed. In fact, the Bible says they're sinful. That means they are selfish. And that's why they don't like to keep the law. And even if they pretend to do it, they're just lying. Yes, yes, I loved my neighbor, but actually they stabbed him in the back. Has anybody noticed that? We call that hypocrisy. Has anybody discovered that in the church? I don't think there's any in this church, but there are in a lot of churches, there are a lot of hypocrites. In our church, we just have rotten people for the most part. And so do we have any hypocrites here? Are there any hypocrites? Yes, 4, 6. Peg, twice you raised your hand. And so that's good. And so, you know, a hypocrite is someone who is what they're not. They're a hypocrite. They're like an actress or an actor on a stage. They think they're the character they're playing, and they get mixed up after they're done. I think, didn't Superman do that? You know, he kind of got mixed up and thought he really was Superman, fell off a horse or something and broke his neck. So sometimes you get mixed up that when you're acting, you're just acting. So anybody can act, pretend, play. Little kids do it all the time. When I grow up, I'm going to be, you know, and then they pretend like they are a doctor or a nurse or a fireman or something or other. But God wants you to be real. He wants you to be what you really are, and he doesn't want you to try to fool him or bring an offering to him that, you know, is not perfect. So when he says, be ye perfect as I am, he wants you to perform to please him. So this chair here is the law. Here they are. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not blah, 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 blah. And there's 10 of them. And so he wants you to be perfect like that, and then you're okay. If you worship God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself, you please God. That's all he's ever wanted. How many know that's not hard? Just please God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor, just treat him like you would want to be treated. That's perfect. There you have. But God says nobody ever did it. Nobody, but nobody, but nobody. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That was your destiny. That was your purpose on life, was to do all that. Now, I'm going to say something funny. What God demands, God always supplies or provides. Okay, if God demands something, he doesn't really want you to do it. Because whatever he demands of you, he supplies. So the right side over here are the promises of God, not the commands for you to behave, but for him to behave. So God makes these promises. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless, blah, 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 all these promises. So here, if you believe the promise, you're called a believer. So here you have faith in God that I will not obey his law, but I will believe his promise. Because he's promising to do something for me rather than me promising to do something for him. How many like it at Christmas time when you don't have to be nice to get a present? How many know when Santa Claus comes to town? He's coming to town. What's he going to do? To find out who's naughty and nice. And if you're naughty, you don't get a present. And so if you're nice, you get something. So if the presence of the Lord under the tree, that's our kind of tree is a manger. But if you do well, then you get the present that's underneath the tree. But if you do naughty. So parents use that on little kids to say, you better behave. Because when Santa comes, he's going to find out if you're naughty or not. He's making a list, and he's checking it twice. He's going to find out. And so if that's the case, then God is wanting us to behave so we can get a gift. We can get a gift if we behave. So you have to earn the gift. But that's a lie. That is not God. So Santa Claus, as nice as you may think he is, and I'm sorry if there's little kids here, but as nice as you think he is not nice because he wants you to behave. And I know kids should behave, but you know, when they behave, I don't actually think they're good. I think they're just behaving to get something. Because people naturally are rebellious. Have you ever noticed that about little kids? You ever notice that little kids, when you tell them to go to bed on time, hey, you go to bed right now. No. I said, you go to bed right now, I'm going to spank you. And little kids just defy you, and they're only two. They're just 2 years old, and you're bigger. But a little kid will just do it. He wanted to use that word new, no, at some point when you said no to him when he was just one. No, you don't do that. And he didn't like that. And so he was waiting when he could use that word. And so about two-ish, maybe one and a half, they just defiantly put their hand on their hips like this. No. You go to bed right now, or I'm going to spank you. No. I love that when little kids do it. Don't you love that? Because they're being a person. They're being a person. They're establishing their independence from you. I don't have to do what you say. And so as they grow up to be teenagers and so on and so forth, they become even stronger. Like Margaret. She is our youngest now, and I don't know how old she is, but she's old. But when she was a teenager, she would be going out and say, Margaret, where are you going? Out. Oh, just out? Don't you want to stay here with Mom and me tonight? Have a good evening? Thanks, Dad. Really tempted, but no. And so she, I don't know why. What if we get old someday? And you wish you had spent more time with us. Thanks, Dad. No. So, you see, kids rebel like that from authority. They don't like authority. They don't like someone telling them what to do. They just want to do what they want to do. Has anybody noticed that about people? I don't mean us, of course. We're nice people. But I'm talking about most people. Now, God then gave the law not so anyone would keep it. He gave the law so you'd realize you couldn't. The only reason he gave you the law was so you'd feel guilty and you'd have to confess and say, I didn't do what you said. Remember Adam? Remember Adam? How he in the garden, he went like this. God, did you eat of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Well, the woman thou gavest me. Remember how he blamed the woman and then he blamed God that gave her. Isn't that funny? He didn't blame himself. He didn't say, I just wanted to eat it. That's why. He didn't say that. But that was the truth. He just wanted to eat it. You remember? And God said to him later, he said, that your sin was you listened to your wife. Because remember, after she ate it, then she said, she gave it to her husband, and he did eat. So he was kind of like, hey, give me one of those. You don't look like you're dead. I'm going to try one. And so, and then Eve, when she ate, he came to Adam first because he was the head guy. He was supposed to be the leader of the family and did a rotten job of that. But then he came to the wife. Eve, did you do what he said? Did you eat of that tree? Well, because nobody wants to be punished and die. And that's what God said. If you eat of it, you die. So she's thinking of some lie. Well, the serpent, he tricked me. He beguiled me. I wouldn't have eaten otherwise. My God. Jesus, I wouldn't have eaten. So people lie. Have you ever noticed that about people? But King David did it just right. He committed murder. He committed adultery. He did every wrong thing in the book. Lied to God. Kept writing Psalms when he shouldn't have. And God then, through the prophet, came to him and said, David, did you do wrong? Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight. In other words, David confessed his sin, and what did God do? Did God kill him? No. He forgave him. So the minute you confess your sin to God, then God will forgive you. So God likes to forgive people and not punish them. And he likes to punish Jesus. See, way behind the manger, there's a cross back there. It's hidden away now. But it's back there. And Jesus will grow up. He's going to be born so that he can die, so that he can resurrect and forgive you. I think that's cool. So Jesus actually is 100% for you no matter what, even if you defy him, even if you go against him, even if you never keep his law. He gave the law to show you that you couldn't keep it. So I always gave laws to my kids that I knew they couldn't keep. I did it deliberately. I was trying to be just like God. And, for example, if you tell someone to be perfect, of course they can't. So the first day of school, I remember Kirsten came home. She was bawling because she hadn't been perfect. And she knew that Kara, her older sister, had been perfect. And Kara was. She was perfect. She'd get up at 6 every morning, straighten all the silverware out in the kitchen. She'd go and play her piano, play her flute. You know, she's just always getting all the ribbons at school. They only had so many ribbons, she got them all. And so that was okay the first year, but then the second year they began to realize this is not good. But then by the third year they said, we're not going to let Kara, only going to get one from now on. Because they didn't want her taking all, because she memorized all her scriptures. She, you know, she was the perfect child who did everything just right. And she still hasn't sinned yet. But she has 8 kids, so that teaches her something. And that did bring out a little bit of sin in her. Now, God deliberately set up the law so you couldn't keep it, so that he could show mercy to you. Isn't that interesting? In other words, he hid the fact that when he gave you the law, he didn't want you to do it. He wanted Jesus to do it. Any law that God ever gives, I said, whatever he demands, he provides. Any law that God ever gave you never applies to you. N/A. That's it. N/A. Not applicable in my case. So God never wanted anyone to please God. He didn't want anyone to please him by keeping a law. But he wanted Jesus to keep the law for you and give you a free gift and another gift and another gift and just a whole bunch of gifts under the tree, because he is the tree of life. Under the tree, a tree that never dies because he has eternal life in him. So it's an evergreen tree, everlasting. Jesus is the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden that nobody knew what that was for. And before they could eat of that tree, because it wasn't time, God put an angel there guarding the Garden of Eden from them re-entering and eating of that tree, because then it wouldn't have been what God had in mind. How many know God always wants it to be just the way he wants it to be? And so in your case, God wants you to hear faith, hope, love. The purpose of faith is so that then you can have hope, so that then you can have love. So everything is for this chair right here. So since you're not going to sit in the law chair, you sit in the good news chair, the gospel chair, for his beloved. The first thing he does is he borns you again through faith, so now you're born of the Spirit. Then the next thing he does, since you come under his lordship, this was Savior. Now you come under his lordship, and there you submit to him, and what he does is kill you. So here he birthed you so that you could die. And here he resurrects you after you're dead. So you're born to die to rise. You're born to die to rise. And I could add another chair and say to reign. Because someday we're going to rule and reign with him if, in fact, all these three things have taken place. Now, what can you do to help God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You can't help God because that's over here, you behaving. This one's over here, him keeping his promise. This one here, if God begins a good work in you, if he begins a good work, this chair, faith, then faith will become active in love, because he who began a good work in you will surely finish it. Whatever God starts, he finishes. He cannot start something over here and then not finish it, keep it going here, and then perfect it and finish it here. So when he's coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without stain, without blemish, without any unholiness, any uncleanness, without anything that is evil, no sin. Here he forgave your sin. Here he takes away your sin, and here you've become a lover. So, here I'm a believer, here I'm a disciple, here I'm a lover. Here I'm a little child, just getting started. Here I'm a young man or young woman, and here I'm a mature father or mother. And so, Jesus makes a promise that all of these things I will give you. So, therefore, they're all gifts. Nobody has to earn any of them. You don't have to do a thing. As a matter of fact, you can't. Because what you learned from trying to keep the law was you couldn't. The minute you try to say, let's say you say something like this, God, today, no matter what, I'm going to serve you completely. How many know you will probably not make it through the first nanosecond? Because the second nanosecond, which is less than a second, you're already proud. I think I said that just right. And you've already sinned. God, today is going to be the day. This is the day. Hey, this is, you know, and you can be so excited about being a perfect person. Let's say you were married and you goofed up. Okay, today I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to be better. And by the way, I'm just speaking theoretically because I have had no experience in that at all. I was rotten from the beginning. I've always been rotten, and I'm still rotten as all get out. The only thing is that since I sit in this chair where I know I'm rotten, but God is good, thank you, Jesus, since I'm good, Jesus is now in me. Okay, he lives in me. And his hidden life, eternal, is in me too. Even though I haven't yet been resurrected from the dead, even when I die, I'm still not resurrected from the dead. Even though that's in the future, that's a hope. That's a future promise. Still, he's beginning the work in me, and then I become a disciple, disciplined, submitted to him, doing what he says voluntarily. I want to do it. He's not going to force me, because there's no force here, because he's keeping his promise. I'm not keeping mine. He is. So he has to keep me. And then he promised that I'd be perfected. So now I will be, and everybody here who starts out right there and then doesn't say, I don't want to play anymore. I want to go back to the law, or I just want to be licentious. Now, if you do that, he won't stop you, because this is all voluntary. So here, he's keeping his promise, you're not. So you can quit at any time and say, I don't want any more of your, I don't want you to be God anymore. I don't want you to be my Savior or my Lord or my bridegroom or whatever. I just want to live my own life the way I want. I want to rebel. Now, you can do that. Is God angry at rebellious people? Nope. Did you know that God loves sinners? Did you know that God loves rebels? Did you know that God even taught us to love even our enemies, even people that hate God and hate us? He said, oh, no, I want you to love them. That's what I'm going to train you to do. And since you're not used to this, it's going to take a while for me to retrain you, because you remember over here you tried to behave and you couldn't. But over here, I'm not going to let you do it. I'm going to do it for you. Then I'm going to do it in you. Then I'm going to do it through you. So you don't have to do a lick of work here. That's why he said, come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm gentle. I'm lowly of heart. It's going to be easy on you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Don't worry about it. I'll finish all this. This is a promise from my Father in heaven, and I've come down to tell you, stop worrying. I want you to laugh. I want you to be peaceful. I want you to be comforted. Merry Christmas. You see, that's why he came down. So he came down to take away any burden that you had. You get the blessing, he takes the burden. You get the blessing, he takes the burden. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to go and read this scripture. And I want to show you how Jesus is not who you think he is. He is the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, but retained his Son of God nature hidden inside of him, so that he could then cause you to become sons of God. Sons of God. Here, I know I'm born of God, but I'm just a little kid. Here, I know I'm being taught of God, but I still sin every day. Every day, even though he's changing me, it's very slow. Could anybody say amen? I'm not yet perfect. But here, I'm actually perfect, and when he comes back, this is the bride he's going to marry, And this is the one that's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. And it could be, you know, in a few years, very few years. And so this could happen if you're ready. And he said, the bride hath made herself ready, meaning I've taught her not to do anything, but let me perfect her so that her dress is perfect. I'll supply it. Her garments are clean. Everything about her is perfect because I did it and she didn't help. So the bride is not supposed to do all that today. I know we, a lot of times the bride just take over and they want to do it. They don't want mom to set it up and so on and so forth. So they just take over. But in the ancient world and in the Orient today, it still happens that the family arranges all these things and the kids don't. They don't even tell them, you know, you just go pick somebody. They pick them for them. This is going to be your husband. This is going to be your wife. And the first day you often see the person is when you get married. You go, whoa, you are uglier than I thought. Oh, you're not nice. And you don't know because nobody knows. It's a big surprise. So it's kind of funny. I think it's funny. Because you can actually pick your own and it can be the same thing. It can be the same thing. Because that person may not be ugly on the outside, but on the inside, they're very ugly. Is that anybody, do you see the humor of God? Do you see the humor of God? Do you see how much God loves you? He loves everybody. Everybody. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He doesn't want anyone to miss out. He doesn't want anyone to not be happy. And here's the key. Here's the way. Here's the road. Here's the truth that'll set you free. Freedom is here. Bondage is here. So on his right hand are pleasures evermore. Jesus comes and makes a personal, you know, you're mine. This is a relationship now from now on. You don't do anything. You take the blessing. I take the burden. And here, you take the blessing, I take the burden. And here, you take the blessing, I take the burden. Hey, let's get married. So here, Jesus is perfecting you, and you don't have to do a thing to help him. Now, most pastors don't preach what I just said, but it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I wanted to show you today, look not to your own interests, okay? So that's the law. Don't look to your own interests, but look to the interests of others also. Now, you cannot do that because sooner or later, you'll want to take care of yourself first. That's the law of self-preservation. It's the most basic law of all. It's the natural law. I've got to take care of myself because other people don't even like me. Has anybody discovered that? Susan, have you discovered that? Yeah, I mean, I don't know why, but sometimes even family members. I mean, it's amazing to me that when you're such a nice person, why doesn't everyone see how great you are? Did you know that a lot of people don't? They don't see it. Like, you know, you're like pushed off to the side. I was like that as a kid. Nobody thought I was worth anything. And when they would pick a team or something like that, I'd be standing right in the front, you know, raising my hand. And they'd look right over me and try to find someone else, anybody but me. And I was always the last one. Isn't that fun? Do y'all see that? That builds character in you. You actually have to develop a kind of a self-take care of yourself character because you're not big enough or strong enough or whatever enough. And you just don't measure up. Did you know there are people like that in this world? They're just losers. They're just nothing. As a matter of fact, my mother tried to abort me, get rid of me. And, you know, 4 different occasions, she tried different things and none of them worked. So you can see she wasn't very good. She's trying to get rid of me because it would ruin her whole life. My mother had 17 high schools she went to, 17, top, and in 3 years she was done with high school. And she was going to have a great career, and then something bad happened, and now her life is over. And so her mother said to her, my grandmother, just abort him, get rid of him. So I was a worthless person. I was in the road. I was in the way. And so to get rid of me would give her some happiness. But if she had to keep me, it'd ruin her life because she could never now go on to greater things. And so she gave up her life. And she tried to abort me. So she tried to do what grandmother said, just get rid of him. And in those days, that was a bad thing. Today, it's okay. They allow it. But in those days, this was all back alley stuff. And so they did all kinds of things. And I asked her when she told me that. I said, well, tell me some of the things you did, because I want to know how clever I was to keep alive. It did this, did that. I must have gone like this. And then if she stuck something, I would go like this. How clever I was, because here I am. Look at this. And I told her, she said, she was crying, of course. She didn't like telling this. But I told her, Mom, it's okay, because you weren't that good at it. You weren't that good at it. Look, here I am. I'm happy. I'm not mad. I am not unhappy that you just slept with somebody and here I am. I'm not unhappy about that. Good for you. That's great, because I wouldn't be here without it. Do y'all see that? You can just see how intelligent I am. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is this. There is no such thing as a God who hates you and doesn't love you with everything he's got. He loves everybody, including me, a worthless nothing. And not only that, I went to the top. Wherever I went, I just went to the top, but I had nothing going for me. I just had to lie and cheat and steal and make stuff up. I just purely invented it. You know, I wasn't tall enough to be a football player or a basketball player or big enough or whatever. I was always left out. But I could play ping pong pretty good. It's just that I don't know why they don't pay billions of dollars to ping pong players normally. I could do marbles. You know, we kids, we had marbles. You used to put them in a circle and you'd shoot little marbles at them. You know what? God likes me. Jesus Christ came down to tell me, Jim, you're valuable. You are so precious in my sight. Really, I never kept your law. I never did anything right. That's okay. I'll pay for that. I'll die for you. I'll die in your place. My blood will cover you, and you can sit over here in this chair and just trust me. I'm going to give you everything. You don't have to work at it. Wow. Really? Gosh. I love it. Don't you love it? And you know, the only way you can get into heaven is this way right here. Just go by like a little child. Except you become as a little child. Technon in the Greek. Except you become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of God. So this is how you enter. This is just the beginning. Then you'll grow up and you'll become a young man. And there, I'll get rid of all the sin. I forgave it here, but now I'm going to get rid of it. How are you going to do that? I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Really? I don't even know who he is. I never heard of him. Well, that's the third guy in the Trinity. Oh, okay. I don't even know what that is. So I didn't understand all that stuff. Holy Spirit, what's he do? Well, he's going to get rid of your sin. Good for him. Could he do it while I'm sleeping? Because I don't think I could help him. Nope, you don't have to do a thing. Really? That's even better. So I'll be someday perfect? Yep. I'm going to take care of this whole thing, even though you never qualified. As a matter of fact, you were totally disqualified. How many know that you were disqualified? You did not keep his law. Therefore, since you didn't behave yourself, because he doesn't want you to behave outwardly. He wants you to behave for all your heart, chair number one, all your soul, chair number two, and all your body, your life, everything. He wants you completely dead to this world and alive to God. So, here's the guy that gave me new birth, a new creation, not like the other one. Something totally different and new that never was before. Nobody else ever come up with this idea except the Son of Man, Jesus, my servant, the one that loves me and shows me the love of God. Jim, don't do a thing. My love will change you. My love will keep changing you, and my love will finally perfect you till you're finished. Perfect love casts out all fear. Wow. And you know, today I don't have any. I don't have any fear at all. I don't care if I'm last or first or best, or I don't care if I'm ugly or smart or dumb or dead. I don't care. I have no care. Why? I'm finished. When I met Jesus, I fell in love right away. That's it. The day that I was born again in this new creation life, that day I fell in love. Literally, because it was supernatural. It wasn't just, you know, I joined a church. It wasn't just head knowledge. It was supernatural, where the living God, spoke to me. Isn't that amazing? Now, I don't know how you got in. I don't know how you got into the thing, but I didn't come in through my mother or my father or my grandparents or whatever. I never even went to a church till I was 11. That was the first time my third father, because they just couldn't stick around, my third father, he forced us to go. He just had to go. He had to be confirmed. I didn't know what that was. I wasn't firmed in the first place, and now they're going to confirm me. I don't even know what it was. You had to memorize the little catechism. You had to memorize this thing. And you had to know the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You had to know that, how to pray. Then you had to know the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me, etc., etc. Then you had to know the creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ his only begotten Son. You had to know all that stuff, and I was a good memorizer, so I was a Christian. All you had to do is memorize that stuff, and I was a Christian. But that was in the worldly type of church, but not God's true church, because in the true church, you have to do it with all your heart and all your soul. And I remember the day I was confirmed, this thought came into my, when the minister was saying to me, do you believe in God the Father? The thought came to me, no, I don't. I don't even know who he is. I just memorize the creed. That's all. It's just a ritual. It's just something you do when you're 12 and you got pimples. And now I got to do it because they put on a little robe on you, and then you got a purple flower afterward, and I wanted that flower. Everybody got one. I want one too. And so the minister said, do you believe in God the Father Almighty and maker of heaven and earth and Jesus Christ and so on and so forth? And I just said, I wonder what would happen if I say no. Well, first of all, I'll get a whipping, that's for sure. And second of all, I won't get that flower. So I better say yes, yes. But it was a lie. It was a total lie. I didn't believe in God at all. I just went to the little training thing they had, and I did whatever they said to do, but my heart was not in it. My soul was not in it. As a matter of fact, I wanted to stay home every Saturday morning and watch Flash Gordon on television. They don't have it anymore. But there was no television. There used to be a radio. But by the time I went to school, about, I don't know, 8 or 9, somewhere in there, that's when they came out with the first television. It was 5 inches, and it was a circle. And everybody in the neighborhood didn't have one except us. We got one. And everybody came over to watch wrestling. Gorgeous George. And so now, I used to listen to the radio, and it was just a little box. And on that radio, it said, the inner sanctum. And it was kind of scary, but little kids loved it. You know, so we didn't have any entertainment in those days. You just entertained yourself. Parents weren't your friends and so on. They just beat you when you didn't do right. So those were the good old days. We didn't have a toilet. We didn't have plumbing. We didn't have, you just eat off the ground. You just eat the stuff that you grow yourself or you don't eat. It was during World War II. That's when there were rations. So you didn't have sugar. You didn't have this. You didn't have that. You didn't have butter and so on and so forth. And so you just lived without knowing how people lived on the other side of the tracks. Because you were born riffraff. Amen. I love that. I love that. Is anybody ever born riffraff? You know, you're just, out in the boondocks where, we didn't even have roads. We didn't have even stones on the roads. You just, horse and what do they call it, a trailer, brought the milk every day. And so he had the dry ice and kids would go out and get it, so on. So what I'm trying to say is the life I lived was totally different than it is today. The paved highway was way up north. That was Ogden Avenue, which is called Route 66, and it comes all the way through here. Did you know that? It goes all the way down to, way deep into Texas, almost to Mexico, Route 66. So I was born a few blocks from that, but it seemed a mile when you're a little kid, because you're little, and so it takes you a while to get up there. But when you grow up poor, you don't know anything. You don't know any better. All you know is what you know, and everybody in the neighborhood is the same as you are. And when it rains, it floods, and when it floods, you build a raft because you're a kid. And so when you build a raft, then you can go and steal the neighbor's, stuff like that. So That's the way. Now, God should have punished me and sent me to hell, but instead he loved me and sent Jesus to the cross. And when he died, he said, I died. And now I'm a new creation here. And because I believe in him, he counts that as you are right with me because you trusted me to be good and keep my word, and you didn't trust yourself to behave. And I don't trust you either. So this was a good deal. And now I'm going to take you all the way to heaven. Really? I've never been there. No, nobody has. Nobody's been there. So you can't go right now, but my son, whom I sent down from heaven, he's going to teach you so that you can someday rule and reign with me forever and ever and get all the inheritance that I have for you. You know, I haven't gotten that inheritance yet. But I've been blessed all along the way because he gives little daily blessings. How many know that you have all the blessings in heavenly places? Amen. You have all the blessings. I mean, that's incredible. I don't see it. I just believe it. Because faith is the victory that overcomes this world. And because of that, Jesus came, this Son of God, Son of Man. Here's what he did. Now, Philippians 2 says this. Do not look on your own things. In other words, don't worry about your own stuff. But look on others. So that's the third chair out here. That's this one right here. I'm actually going to love others because I don't need to love myself because God loves me and his love is better than mine. And therefore, since he's taken care of me, I believe that. I believe he will actually do all that he said, but I have no way to prove it. I don't have any proof. I don't need any proof. I just believe it because I tried that other way and I couldn't do it. I couldn't behave myself. I didn't want to, and I didn't think other people were that nice either. You could have said amen right there. All right. Let this mind be in you. He's changing my mind now in chair two there. Which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, morphe. Form in the Greek is, even though Jesus was God, Son of God, even though he's Son of God, equal to the Father, equal to the Holy Spirit, even though he was in the form of God, he gave up the form, but he kept the substance. So he still had the life in himself. Now, because of that, he who gave up the form, but kept the real thing, the substance, the eternal life, he could then give it to me. Can't give me what he doesn't have, but what he does have, he can. And he therefore born me again, then grew me up, and then perfected me. And now he's coming back to marry me because I'm ready. And I am. I want him to come today, tomorrow, next week, next year. I don't care when. Whenever he comes, I want to be ready. Now it says here, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, harpagnon is robbery. Jesus did not think it was robbery to say, I, as Son of Man, am not equal to God. I'm inferior. God is greater than me. But as Son of God, who's inside of me, as Son of God who's inside of me, therefore, I am equal with God. So he didn't think that was robbery to be what he was, because he was God. And there he said to the Pharisees, I'm equal with God. And they said, because you've said that, we're going to kill you. Because he said he was the same as God. In other words, I am God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's why they killed him. That's why they killed him. And because he just came down to love me. And you, Debbie. He picked the worst. You and me. We're the worst. Do you agree?
I do.
Amen. I could have picked anybody. I could have picked Obo. This is the worst. Yeah? Larry. Have you cleaned up or still substantially? What are you in substance? Substantially. Really? Who are you? Are you a new creation?
Yes.
There you have it. So even though on the form, on the outside, I may still be, you know, a jerk, on the inside, I believe in Jesus, so I'm okay. See how Jesus takes jerks and turns them into okay people. That's amazing. In fact, he only works on sinners. You've got to be a sinner for him to work on you. If you were a saint, he wouldn't come. He's not coming back for someone who is self-righteous, like the Pharisees. In fact, they're the ones that persecute you because you say you're good when they know you're no good. But I say I'm good not because I'm good, but because God's good and he doesn't lie. And therefore, the good work he began in me, I know he will surely complete, and I trust him. And therefore, I'm not afraid of you, so go ahead and persecute me, suffer me. I don't care. Doesn't bother me at all because I'm already too happy. Why? Because Jesus has done all these free presents, Christmas time thing. You know, he loves me, and I'm having a happy life. I am. No, you cannot find anybody on earth happier than me, maybe Debbie. Are you happier?
Happier.
Happier? Okay, that's good. So we're equally happier because anybody who knows Jesus Christ, happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Not happy is the man that does good things, but happy in the man that believes that God does good things for him. I believe that my Father in heaven actually adopted me into his family. I believe he not only birthed me, but then he adopted me, and now he wants to marry me. Now, that's how you get in a family. So I'm completely like God. I'm not God, but I'm like God. I have the image of God. Now I have the likeness of God. He did all that. I didn't do it. So you don't have to do anything. As a matter of fact, if you try to help him, you'll bog the thing down. You'll bog the thing down. How many have been helpers of God? But the Holy Spirit is the helper, not you. How many of you are not a good Holy Spirit? So don't help him. Just go ahead and be what you are. Don't hide because God can see right through your fig leaves. He can see right through your pretending. He can see everything about everybody. And he's written it all in the book. He's written it all in the book. So he says, all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But, that's just all mankind. But I'm not part of mankind. I'm a new creation. So therefore, I am now in his sight good. But it's derivative. I don't have life in myself like he does and the Father does. But I have life because he gave me his eternal life. I got this from the Son of God. Because the Son of God has eternal life. Did you know that the life in Jesus, inside of Jesus, the hidden life, is actually the light of men. And in him was the light of men. So his life is our light. We see for the first time who we are. I'm not someone who's worthless that my mom tried to abort. I'm not someone who's a jerk and an idiot that everybody sees and knows. I'm actually awesome. Because Jesus loves me. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing to me. Because I know I'm an idiot. I know I'm a jerk. I know I shouldn't be picked. You know, pick me. But God picks you. And he goes, hey, you're the one I'm looking for. So God just goes around looking for, you know, people that couldn't make it otherwise. That was me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do y'all see that? You having a good time down here? Hey, I'll tell you what. He not only does that, he does it during the devil's time. Do you know this is the time of the Gentiles? You're not going to get rid of all the bad guys. But when he comes back, then it's over. As soon as he comes back, then that's over. But it isn't over yet because I'm not yet perfected. The thing that's stopping the devil is us. God is saying, no, not yet, Gentiles. Stay wicked still because I haven't finished with Jim yet. He's a tough case. I'm working hard to get him perfected, but he's a rebellious little guy, but I love him. I love you, but you rebellious little boy, but I'm going to get you cleaned up, and then I'm going to get you perfected, and then I'm going to marry you, and then you're going to inherit everything. Everything I have will be yours, and everything that you had, I took it. I took care of it. You owed a debt, I paid for it. You didn't have eternal life, I gave it to you. Whatever you need, I will supply, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. That's amazing. I get everything. Does everybody know how great this is?
Awesome.
Just because you don't have to figure out who you are. He just tells you, well, you're worthless. But then he tells you something else. But you're the one I'm looking for, and I'm going to turn you into something valuable because the way I first made you, you goofed up on it. I gave you freedom, and you misused it. But now I'm going to give you another kind of freedom which you can't misuse, because I'm free to set you free forever. And I'm going to pay for everything, and I'm going to take care of everything, and I'm going to do everything that you don't have. I'll give it to you. Eternal life, I'll give it to you. And then you want to be no sin, I'll give that to you. And you want to then marry me and inheritance, I'll give you that. Now, how many know this is good news?
Amen.
It's all dependent on this Jesus, who's Son of God and Son of Man in one person. Jesus has both in him. He has this eternal life that no one else has, because once you get that, it's over. Once you're born into the family, then the family takes care of everything. It's all promise. So when I believed his promise, it's over. Because I don't believe the Jesus that's the Son of Man. I believe that Jesus, who's the Son of Man, has the Son of God in him, which then can perfect me, which Son of Man couldn't do. In fact, when he died, he gave up his spirit. He said, Father, I commend to you my spirit. I surrender my spirit to you, my natural spirit, which will now go not to heaven, but it will go to Hades. And he went to Hades, and he there declared that he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords because of the eternal life that was in him. And all of Hades surrendered to him. And hell and the devil, he just took the keys from the devil. Because why? The devil's just a creature. So the guy that did all the trouble, he's not troubled by him. He even left him. He's still alive today. The guy's still alive. But in a little while, he'll come back. He'll take away his kingdom, throw the beast and the false prophet into the lake of fire, put the devil, bind him with strong chains, put him in a pit, keep him there for 1,000 years till we're all done. And when we're all done, then he'll come back and let the devil loose. The devil will try his last thing. Fire will come out of heaven, devour the guy, and it's over. He'll be in the lake of fire. Don't you see that? Guess who's not in the lake of fire? You and me. Why? Because you started this thing, and therefore when you started, he enrolled you in the Lamb's Book of Life. This one took my death as his, so he can't die. He will now have eternal life just like me. When I rise from the dead, Jim also will rise with me. And when I'm seated with the Father in heaven after my resurrection and ascension, Jim will be with me in heaven. Did you know you are now seated with Christ in heavenly places? You don't see it, but it's already true. And I believe it without seeing it. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. And you know what difference it makes? All the difference in the world. Because I'm happy now all the time. I'm unafraid all the time. I don't want anything anytime. I don't care. I don't care what you give me. Good, bad, indifferent. I don't care. Why? Because I'm totally free. Why? Because I read the book. I read his book. He gave this book to me. I'm just going to read this book that he gave me. This is all the freedom. This is my papers of manumission. This one set me free. I read this truth and it set me free. Wow. You protected me when mom tried to abort me. Ah, you turned everything that was bad into something good. Ah, this is good. How much do I get? Everything? Wow, that is so cool. How many have read this book over and over again? Because this book is your book of life. This right here is your book of life. If you believe in this book right here, he wrote these things down. They're in English or Spanish, or you can get them in any language. I read them in the original because I'm a pastor. I don't have to. I just like to. I do it every single day. I have to read in Latin. I have to read in Greek. I have to read in Hebrew. And I do it not because it's easy or hard. I do it because I want to. I don't have to. You don't pay me to do it. You don't even know if I do it. You wouldn't even know if I said something, whether it was true or not. Because most people aren't skilled anymore in those ancient languages. But how can a stupid kid who had no money, nothing, I didn't even have money to pay for college or anything, but I got scholarships and jobs and whatever. I made it through somehow. Never owed anybody anything at any time. I've never owed a debt in my life, ever. But I had no money either. So how did that happen? So God is good. God's a supplier. Now, here's what it says. But he made himself of no reputation, That word in the Greek is kenosis. In other words, he emptied himself of all of his divine attributes, except divinity itself. He still was justitia Dei, the justice of God. He still had the wisdom of God. He still had everything that any man could have who would sit there and trust God that God's good and he keeps his promises. And Jesus believed God was good because he's one that made the promise. You know, the whole earth was made by Jesus. Jesus is actually not just the Father made it, but the Father and the Son and the Spirit, they all made it at the same time. And they all did a different function, but it was all to the same purpose. Bless Jim. Let's bless Louise. Let's bless Jackie. Let's bless Joyce, etc. God did everything for you. And if you think that you've received anything so far, you have seen nothing yet. He is actually saving the best to the last, just like dessert. You haven't even seen anything yet. Whatever you've seen, it's even better. It's awesome. And I believe our best days are ahead. Our brightest time hadn't even come yet. It's already good for me. I'm totally satisfied now. I've drunk the drink that satisfies, and I'm satisfied. I sold everything I had and bought the pearl of great price, and I'm completely satisfied. But did you know this? When you get Jesus, you actually get everything else too, because he said, with Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. Wow. Now, I haven't seen them all, but I know I've got them all, and I totally believe in that. That's exciting. And the devil can't take any of them away. I'm not even worried about it. I'm not even worried about it. I don't have any worries at all. Why? Because the good work he began, I know he began, he'll surely finish, complete, because he loves me. So let's say the world today has a few problems. Does anybody know that the world today has a few problems? Let's say the United States has a few problems. Let's say that Texas has a few problems. Let's say that Fort Worth has a few problems, or Dallas, or wherever you live. So what? He solved them all. I'm not worried about any of them. Yeah. I only have good news for everybody. I can meet communists. I can meet Al-Qaeda. I can meet homosexuals. I don't care what bad guys they're supposed to be out there. I don't believe in it. I believe God died for everybody. If he could love me, he could love anybody. Yeah. So I don't see any enemies out there. I know they are enemies. I know that they hate this and that and so on and so forth. So what? I was once stupid too. But I'm not anymore. Why? Because I've learned from this book who I am and who they are, and he wants me not to trust them, but to love them and to bless them and never, ever to not serve them for their good. I don't need to take care of me. I don't care if they chop my head off. I'm still going to serve them. I'm still going to love them. I still want their happiness, not my own. I don't need it. I'm already happy. You can't make me unhappy. You can kill me. That'll just send me home quick. You can torture me. That I will not like. So don't even stick a needle in the end of my finger, because I'll be a Buddhist or anything at that point right there. Because I don't like that. I don't like blood. Monty can tell you, I don't even want to see it or anything. I don't want to see that. When I do, I get squeezy or queasy or whatever you get. Now, did you know what? I don't have to improve. I just let God do all that. I know that I'll be beautiful when the time comes. I'll be perfect when the time comes. I know that everything about me is not good. Does everybody here have a dark side? Kind of a little hidden side where you do a few things that you know are wrong you shouldn't do. Overeating. Amen. Judgmentalism, where you criticize others secretly. They don't even know about it. And you think to yourself, why is she wearing that dress? Doesn't look good on her. Her hair, I would change it. I'd cut that off, you know, and so on. We're always thinking of other people, what's wrong with them. Did you know that? We have a kind of a gift of the Holy Spirit, I guess, where we figure out what's wrong with other people. I can just sit in an airport and just look at people and I can judge them in 1 second. Gee, I wouldn't want to be married to him. Wouldn't want to be married to her. Wouldn't want to have a dog like that. You know, I'm always just, I don't know, I don't even have to think about it. It just comes to me. I'm sizing everybody up. Does anybody else have that gift? I mean, it takes seconds. I don't even need to talk to them or anything. I just know right away. Phew, what's wrong with them? Or I'll think to myself, wow, I'll bet they're happy. Because it's superficial. How many are superficial? You're just superficial. You know what? God doesn't care about all that. It's his job. It's his job to fix you. It's his God to bless you. It's his job to take care of you. It's his job to defend you. It's his job to keep you alive. It's his job. Now, I do the best I can, but it's not very good. I'm not perfect. But he does everything perfectly, and he will not let one of his things disappear. Every investment he makes, it always succeeds. That's you. So the best has been saved to the last. I believe we live at the end of times, and you could be surprised. I could be the emperor of the world tomorrow. Or an idiot scratching in the gutter. I could be either. It'd be easy for me, and I wouldn't care. Because it's up to God to finish the good work he started. Did you all see that?
Amen.
So I don't care if I'm rich or poor, sick or well, you know, friends or no friends. I don't really care. Money or no money, you know, whatever. And all those things could happen, negative and positive. I don't care. Why? Because he cares for me. What is man, the Bible says, that thou art mindful of him? Why does God always have his mind on you and me? I mean, individually. He knows everything you're thinking and wanting and feeling and saying and doing, inside and out, spirit, soul, and body. He knows everything. But why does he do that? Why doesn't he care about himself? Because he doesn't need anything. He's already perfect. So he's using all his perfection not to punish us, but to bless us and punish his own son. Well, it wasn't a punishment for Jesus. Because Jesus said, Father, you want someone to go down? Don't go. I'll go for you. Let me go. I want to serve you. That's a good son. And he showed us what it is he wanted, which he wrote in his law, by the way. Everything that he wrote is in the law, but nobody can do it. Apart from him, you can't obey him. Don't try to obey God without God. If you try, it won't work. You need a relationship with the living God. And I got it when he birthed me, then when he began to disciple me, and then when he began to perfect me, I got that. I got that. I'm in love. I'm totally in love. Peggy can tell you, I'm always happy. It's one of the things she hates about me. You're happy all the time. Makes me angry. It just depresses her. And then at other times she'll say, I want to be like that. So she's kind of mixed up. Don't you love mixed up people? Don't you love people that are mixed up? Because everybody's mixed up. Everybody is. Why do you have to have a world that's perfect? I don't need a world that is perfect. I have a world that will be perfect when God's finished. I don't need it to look like it today. I don't need people to behave well today. I don't care that people like me. I don't care that they dislike me. I don't care that they abuse me or use me. And I'm used all the time. Did you know that you are important to God?
Yes.
Therefore, if you're important to God, you're going to be important to everyone that loves God. So everyone in heaven is going to know you right off. Oh, you're Jim. Of course, they'll probably have to have another name, so I'm going to get a new name. That will just be my own name, and it'll probably have God in the name of it somewhere there. God's Jim. Now, why am I talking about me? Because I'm not. I'm talking about you. I'm saying the way I am, I got from this book. I read this book because there's no lies in it, and the truth of this book sets you free.
Amen.
Hope you're blessed today.
Amen.
Everything that Jesus has, everything that he has is mine.
Amen.
Everything I have, he's taken care of. It's his. So the best has been saved now to the last.
Amen.
Now he's about to display himself. He's coming back soon. I hope you're all ready. Because once you die, you don't go to heaven. Once you die, you go somewhere else for a while. Okay? Your body's here, right? You all know that. It's rotting away in the grave. But your soul is going to go somewhere. Okay. Now your spirit is already with God. So there is no travel. There is no travel. You're not migrating around. But God is going to come back. And when he comes back, you'll see who you are. And if you have no Holy Spirit, you won't be part of the bride. If you only have your natural spirit, you'll die. Your body will die, but your body could die and your soul still be alive, and it is. But even your soul will perish at a certain point and will be lost. In other words, it'll be in the wrong place where you don't want to be. But your spirit is the only thing that makes you a new body and a new soul. Having the Spirit right there. I was born of the Spirit. Now I'm being changed by the Spirit, and I will be perfected with the Spirit so that He can actually act His life through me on this earth. You know why? Why does God want to act through you today? Because then men, other men, not saved men, will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Can't do that in heaven. It's only going to be done here. It has to be done in this world before you die. So the good works that you do here are works of love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. Those gifts of the Spirit are not producible by natural men. I could explain why, but just take my word for it. So all of those things God wants to give you as a free gift. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, I'll give you everything else. So the best is yet to come. How many here today learned something? You learned something. And what you learned is how much God loves you unconditionally. There are no conditions. He doesn't care that you have fears. He doesn't care that you have doubts. He doesn't care that you're worried. He doesn't care about all that. That's His business. You cannot, by the way, you can't change yourself. I will not be afraid today. That makes me scared. You cannot stop being afraid. If you're afraid, you're afraid. If you're buying a lie, you're buying a lie. If you're a hypocrite, you are a hypocrite. You can't change it. Don't change it. Just get to know Jesus. Start with Jesus. Don't start with you. Start with you, you end with you. And you get nowhere. They that labor, labor in vain. But if the Lord build the house, they that labor don't have to labor in vain. Because then all my labors are wrought in God. He did them. So they don't see your faith. They don't see your discipline. All they see is your works. Now, He has to do those good works in you. Then you'll be ready. No good works, you're not ready. Now, what happens when He comes back then is He's going to get married, and those that are ready are ready. Now, I want every one of you to be ready. Jackie, I want you to be ready. And so I'm not saying to you, get a dress. I'm saying to you, your dress is letting Jesus make your dress. His works are actually your works. His life is actually your life. His righteousness is actually your righteousness. You don't have any of your own. You don't even need any of your own. He'll just supply it. Free. Free. He's just working that confidence in you. Anyone want to testify? Doris? God is good. That's a good testimony. Anyone else want to testify?
We're so blessed.
We're so blessed.
I was blessed.
Powerful. Anyone else? It's good. It should be, every time the word goes out, there should be life, power, change, something awesome. Why? Because you didn't do it. God did. And it's perfect.
Hallelujah.
It's so perfect, you couldn't have done it. You needed it. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Amen. It's good. Anyone else? Yes.
Not afraid.
Not afraid. Powerful. I tell you, when you conquer fear, it's only because someone from the outside, has said something to you, not you on the inside, which sets you free. It just sets you free. So that is called alien. Okay? So it's an alien righteousness. An alien righteousness. Justitia aliena. Latin. Justitia, that means just or righteous or holy or true. That one is alien, aliena. Justitia aliena. Then, that's only chair one. Then there's another kind, and that's justitia propria. Justitia propria is where you actually experience it on a daily basis, and you can testify it right now. Hey, something just happened to me, and I want to testify. It's not just that He forgave me passively. Now, actively, I know the Holy Spirit is setting me free. That is called propria. So justitia, the justice of God, the righteousness of God, is actually working, and I feel it and know it and understand it. I'm experiencing it. And then here, that's just the perfection of that which began there. But it actually was founded there. So 1, 2, 3. God is so good. And the best has been saved. We haven't seen the best yet. Are you looking forward to the Antichrist? Are you looking forward to the Antichrist? Most of you are not. Look, let me tell you something. Best time ever. When the Antichrist actually arrives, he'll sit in Jerusalem, the actual one that we know about, and he'll say he's God. He'll say, I'm the Messiah you're looking for. I'm him. I'm everybody that was looking for something, I'm him. He's a liar, of course. He's a murderer, of course. But he'll look nice, and everyone will say, you know, it's about time we had somebody we could trust. How many know it probably won't be one of the Republican candidates? So whoever you're dreaming of is not going to happen because it has nothing to do with all of that. The problem in politics is us. The problem with economics is us. The problem in our society is us, Christians. You have never let Jesus make you the light and the salt of this world because you are. You're the only ones. But it has to be seen by men. They have to have eyes to see and ears to hear because otherwise they're going to come under bondage. But we can set them free. Why? Because you've been set free. And by your light and your life and your joy and your peace, that's how you set others free. So we don't have economic problems. We don't have social problems. We don't have religious problems. We only have part of the new creation. Religion is not going to save anybody either. Religion is just man-made. But that religion, which is the true religion made of God, totally promise. 100% promise. No work. Nobody is forced to be good. Nobody. You just do nothing. God does everything. I know most people don't believe that. It's too good to be true. No, it isn't. It happens to be true. Try it. Try it. Just try to help out. It won't work. Guarantee you'll be frustrated and angry. The minute you say, I'm going to be a powerful Christian, you just failed right there. But if you say, I believe God can do anything, there, you're right. God does the impossible, you only do the possible. The possible won't get you anywhere. Only the impossible. What's self-evident truth? That's a truth that'll never get you anywhere. God's truths are not self-evident. Nothing that I told you today is self-evident. You can't prove it by your mind, by your will, by your emotions, by your behavior. You can only prove this word by submitting to God and believing that he will keep his promise. Now, can you make yourself do it? Nope, you can't. Could I preach you in a way that makes you do it? No, I can't. All I can do is throw it out like seed, and if it grows, it grows, and you can testify. Hey, today I was set free, as our brother said. That's powerful. Nobody can make that happen. But when it happens, it's a great joy. The best has been saved to the last. I love you all.